40.
Hello, America. Kate Delaney, America Tonight. And so, once again, where are we as far as the markets are concerned? It's all about the fallout, isn't it? Or the gains. You know, we've had 4 days of 400 points in either direction. In the meantime, gold just keeps on going through the roof. I mean, it just keeps on ticking and not taking a licking. You know what I mean? For so many people who invested just a little bit of money, the returns have been pretty great. And, of course, others, you can only imagine what they're sitting on. The old expression, the gold mine, yeah, it's alive and well. I mean, there is a frenzy for gold. There really is. And, in fact, somebody was telling me that in some of these bigger cities, you've got people now handing out flyers, which isn't unusual, to go and see this play or go and do this or go check out this restaurant. But a lot of people handing out flyers to sell your gold. Yeah. They want your gold. Do you have any of those gaudy gold necklaces from the 70s? If you do, you might want to go and sell that for cash if you need it or you want it. This is the time to do it because the gold prices keep on surging. We're going to hit 2,000 easily, maybe more. Maybe it's going to be over 2,000 at this point. If I've seen one sign for cash for gold, I've seen 1,000. I mean, really. I've noticed it a lot more. There is definitely a push for gold. Man, wait till it hits 2,000. And we're talking, there is definitely, it seems to be, a dwindling supply of scrap gold. So that's not the mined kind. It's what you're seeing with the pawn shops and whatnot. Recycled gold. But the scrap stuff is there too. So gold price is over 18 an ounce for the first time, 1,800 an ounce for the first time this week. We're talking in 2008. 680. Just 3 years ago. Man, a lot of people are selling their gold, going through those old jewelry boxes. Well, if you're not selling your gold, you must be doing something else to get the economics of what's in your wallet pumping and going so that you can put some petro in your cars and so that you can occasionally go out and eat, right? We're a country that loves to go out and eat, and can you blame anyone? We don't want to cook all the time. It's getting harder and harder to do that. And the market, as I said, the wild fluctuations did go up over 430 today, the Dow. There's the good news. Will it hold on through the weekend, hold in Friday, and then go through the weekend, and we start yet another week, perhaps? Because I think a lot of the after-hour trading was pretty high. So maybe that just holds and the market ends on a high note. That would be good instead of taking a dive. And speaking of taking a dive, as we're squeezing some things here right at the top of the hour, the Postal Service is laying off, or they want to lay off, 120,000 people. They want to change the benefits. If you've been to the post office lately, you might have, depending on where you live, you might have had to wait in a pretty long line. I think part of that is because they've already lopped off some people. And so the convenience of it all, I think that convenience is going to go away. And Saturday delivery goes away, and you might say, well, who cares? Except for when you're waiting for something to come from, like, Amazon or wherever, unless it's going UPS or some other delivery service, you're not going to get that Saturday delivery, and you're just going to have to live with the Monday through Friday. But the point of it being, because of the digital alternatives, there's been declining mail volume, and that's the harsh reality of it. The cards, the letters, the things that you used to get in the mail, it's just not there anymore. So the United States Postal Service is dying a very slow death. And to shake it up, they have to do something dramatic. And so what is it they're going to do? And the answer is cut those jobs. That's what's going to happen. It was a Republican rally or rumble or cheer fest, whatever you want to call it, in Iowa. It was a debate. And at the debate, I think Mitt Romney probably came through strong. Michelle Bachmann was on the stage. There were eight candidates there. Newt Gingrich, he needs to just give it up, forget it. I don't understand why Newt keeps going through this, because I don't think he's going to beat anybody else that's there. His numbers are too low. Herman Cain, you know, the usual suspects. Rick Perry's not in the mix yet, although he's going to announce on Saturday. We'll see how much that shakes up the polls and how much backing he has behind him. Mitt Romney, though, said the one of the reasons, I think, that he's running, he talked about the president being, oh, gee, shucks, a pretty cool cat, but just not there when it comes to what's happening. In his own words, take a listen.
We're led by a man who's a fine fella, but he's out of his depth and doesn't understand how the economy works.
When he said fine fellow, didn't that sound like a line from Mayberry, RFD? Didn't it sound like that? I was waiting for that music to come up in the background. So Romney has been saying things about the president, and, you know, he just summed it up there, and, of course, was on the stage in Iowa, and he was talking at the state fair, and reporters were following him around and all that sort of stuff, just like all the other candidates. Iowa, ground zero. Iowa's important. South Carolina's important. New Hampshire's important. And as we get closer to the nominating process, it'll be interesting to see what happens. And in 2012, where is the Republican convention? Tampa, Florida. And for the Democrats, it's a layup because, of course, it's Barack Obama running again, but the question is, does he get reelected, or is there enough juice on the other side of the aisle, a strong enough ticket that it's too intriguing and people are just too disillusioned with what's going on, even Democrats or independents, to vote in that direction? See, that's the key. It's really the independents that both sides are playing for, because that's a huge, huge number of people. They're trying to sway the independents. A lot of times independents go the way of the Democrats, but not always. And it's all about the economy. It's going to be all about the economy, everything else, the rippling effects of other things in the country like illegal immigration and what do we do and protection for our borders and all of that. How about the airport security? You know, I could come up with 15 different things that are important that we've talked about, but that's not going to be what this election is going to be about. The election is going to be about money. It's going to be about the economy, period. And if somebody's doing well, they'll have one point of view. If somebody's struggling, they'll have another point of view. Plus, politics have become so divisive now. You're on one side or the other side. And just like those Republicans who were belting it out on the stage, we're belting it out all over America. Absolutely. That's what the buzz is about. Stay with us. Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado. And to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring, because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment basis. But it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America. And he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier. And I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
Again, the Congressional Budget Office sounds the alarm. This time warns of Greek-style U.S. debt crises. You heard me right. The GAO is drawing a parallel between the U.S. economy, its debt, and the current Greek economic meltdown. With the debt-to-GDP chart climbing into unfamiliar territory, the growing budget deficit will rise to unsupportable levels. Hi, this is Ted Anderson. The Federal Debt and Risk of Financial Crises document the CBO has published is a must-read for every American, covering the risk of continued deficit spending coupled with an aging population and the rising interest rates spell economic disaster. It's imperative that you get a copy of this document and study it for yourself. Call me today at 800-686-2237, and I'll send you a free copy. Again, call 800-686-2237 and ask for your copy of the CBO document. Once again, you need to read this government report. Call 800-686-2237.
The American people think they live in a constitutional republic, land of the free, home of the brave. Right.
Just try those lines on the judge when you get a ticket or have to deal with a big bad IRS.
Instead, use escapeharassment.com. Since 1972, our volunteer group of researchers and educators have successfully taught how to escape tickets by law, and it works. Escape harassment has three different steps to follow, depending on where you are in the ticket process. Learn how to escape tickets, IRS, or court proceedings before you go to court. For free, three-minute pre-recorded information and FAQs, call this toll-free number, 1-877-457-9009. That's 877-457-9009. Or go to escapeharassment.com and see our money back guarantee. That's escapeharassment.com. Remember, escape harassment works.
All right, your chance to chime in, 800-259-5791. I have climbed off my soapbox. Let's go to Rick in Illinois. Rick, you have the floor. Hello.
Hello, Kate.
Hello.
I never got to heard about the circus in Iowa, but they asked Michelle Bachman about her government checks, her subsidies and all that.
They asked her if she was they asked her if she was a subservient wife. If she was submissive.
They asked Tim Pawlenty if he still stands by his beliefs that black people are better off being slaves.
No, none of that came up.
That question, none of that.
None of that. None of that.
Nothing.
No, actually, there were a couple of things that came up. Bachman and Pawlenty really kind of took swings at each other. And, I mean, they were trying to gain traction, obviously. And one of the things that the former governor of Minnesota said is that she's done nothing in Congress. She doesn't have experience executive-wise, and she has a history of fabrications. That she's got a he said this exactly. And I thought of you. She's got a record of misstating and making false statements.
Oh, yeah. She can't. Mm-hmm. She doesn't know her history.
Well, that's what he's saying. That's what he's saying. And he went after her.
They say anything about Mitt Romney?
But wait a second. Paul Revere was Sarah Palin.
Oh.
You get them confused.
Oh, that's right. Well, they're identical twins, so.
You're terrible. You're terrible.
They say she's going up there, too, in her bus.
Yeah, but she's not a candidate. She's visiting the Iowa State Fair.
Or trying to get her name in there, too.
Yeah, she's popular. She can sell books up there for sure.
Why does wait so what Rick Perry's going to do? What's going to happen then after that? That's going to be interesting.
I think that's going to be interesting, too, because in most of the polls, even before he was running, he was just a couple of points behind Mitt Romney.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a big dogfight if he gets in there.
Yeah, I think it could come down to that. There might be somebody that comes out of nowhere, too. I'm not saying out of nowhere like they don't have any cred, but that they weren't running originally. Now, all of a sudden, they're in the mix.
Well, they said that one guy, John Bolton, thinking about running.
Yeah, but do you think he really will?
Well, I think he made a statement that, you know, he's leaning towards it.
I think they need someone famous on the undercard. Somebody who's the VP. I'm going to say they need, or how about what's his name? Chuck Norris.
Yeah.
Texas Walker Ranger.
Yeah. I think they can find somebody better than what they got now. But.
Yeah. I don't know. It's going to be, it will be interesting to see how this all comes together.
Uh-huh.
Because remember last time, who knew? McCain and Palin, are you kidding me? In the beginning of that, nobody would have ever handicapped that. First of all, nobody would have ever thrown out Sarah Palin's name way before that happened. And McCain, he was on his last legs. He didn't even have any money left. He was running out of money.
Yeah.
He was bleeding dry, yeah.
That's what I was going to say. I don't think the big money people's going to really back anybody yet. See what's going to happen. But I think it's going to be hard for them to raise money this time around.
I think it's going to be harder, too, but not impossible, because look at what's already happening with Barack Obama. He is raising a ton of money. So are the Democratic capitalists, or what so many people on this show refer to as, liberals who are limousine liberals, are they, including the Hollywood types and whatever, they're shelling out the big bucks for Obama, and that's not going to happen on the Republican side. You'd have to think that there are some deep wells on the Republican side of the aisle, too. Rick, drive with both hands on the wheel, brother, and you have a great weekend. Let's go to Mark in Kentucky. Hey, Mark.
Hey, Kate. Long-time listener, first-time caller.
Oh, I'm glad you called. What's in your mind?
Oh, just getting off work and wanted to give a shout-out to my Kentucky Senator, Rand Paul. He tweeted today and put on his Facebook also that when he got back to Washington, he was going to introduce a bill of no confidence against Tim Geithner and calling for his resignation. Just think he's got so much backbone. He's really proud of him here in Kentucky.
Yeah, I'm glad to hear that. I really like Rand Paul. You know, Mark, I had Rand Paul on the show when he was definitely going to run. He was running and getting the money ready for it and all that stuff. And everything that he told me in that interview is all the same things that he still stands up for. He's not, you know what, he's sticking by what he said. He's really trying to stick by everything that he promised. And that's why when he tweets something like that, you probably have full confidence in it. I agree with him. He doesn't like the monetary system. Tim Geithner has to go. Shouldn't have been the guy in the first place.
Yeah, he's one of the few who hasn't, thus far, went to Washington and been changed. He's actually trying to bring change to Washington as he campaigned for. And so we're proud of him. We're really proud of him here in Kentucky. But also,
yep.
I got a good name for an undercard for you.
Okay.
Dave Ramsey.
Oh, you like the Ram Man.
Yeah, he gets his country finances squared away.
You know what's great, Mark, about Dave Ramsey? You know his story. Obviously, you like him, how he went into debt, too, and went bankrupt.
Twice.
So he knows what it's like to do that and then to come out of it. I like Dave. Yeah. He would be interesting. He does a good show. I like to listen to him.
Yeah, and I'm a Rick Perry man. I know the other day he was on in his prayer conference, and I know John Hagee gets a lot of slack, from the liberal side and even from the moderate side most of the time. But, I believe he's a man of faith, but also believe that, you know, a lot of politicians, decisions they make, alliances they make, you know, a lot of them are have a political intention too. And John Hagee has one of the largest Hispanic churches in Texas, maybe even in the country. And you know, Hispanics all around the United States, you know, consider him their pastor, and they watch him consistently.
Right.
And so, I think he's a man of faith, but I think, you know, of all the people he could have chose to have a prayer conference with, I thought it was pretty politically good to have him up there as far as the Hispanic vote goes and things. But I'm a Rick Perry man. Absolutely.
Yeah, it's interesting that you say that about Hengi. You'll have to, and you listen to our show. He's supposed to come on the show with me. They just sent me one of his books, and I was talking to people that represent Hengi, and it's, you know, of course, that's a tandem thing with the son and what the son's really starting to do. A lot of people like his style, and like you said, he's got Hispanics also hooked into him, too, so it's interesting. That was a good twist that you threw out there to us, Mark. Hey, you were a great caller. Call us again.
Okay, thanks, Kay.
All right. I love how he really said, you know, we're proud of Rand Paul because he, like I said, he has really stuck by what he promised he was going to try to do, what the main things were on the menu for him, and it's always been the financial mess that we're in. It's always been a deficit. There were some other things, like he talked about a reading time for bills because people are voting on bills that they haven't read and they don't realize all of the other things that are involved in that. And he thought that was worrisome, so there should be more time for that. And there were some other things also that were, pet projects of Paul's. But he has absolutely, when he talked about how he felt about the currency and where we were headed and the Federal Reserve and all of that, he's absolutely stuck by that, absolutely, 100%. So no surprise on that tweet there. Wonder how many other new freshman senators would get calls like on talk shows in other areas, like the one that Mark just made to America Tonight. There's a few that are hanging in there. They're toeing the line, but then there's a few others that have jumped off and they've had to sample the Kool-Aid because they're trying to play ball and they're having a rough time of it. It's a political machine in Washington. Doesn't matter if you're popular with your constituents, it's great. When you go to Washington, boy, it's all about maneuvering and negotiating, and sometimes it can be tough to stand by what you were pushing as you were running to be elected. Sometimes you can get knocked off that path. All right, we're going to stay on our path. Coming on the flip side, We Can Count, plus a conversation with Sam in Montreal. Stay with us.
You know that drinking pure, high-alkaline water is one of the most important factors in maintaining high energy and vibrant health, and most experts agree that the water you drink should be at a pH level of 8 or higher. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops, available only at AlkaVision.com, combine a unique formula of most alkaline minerals available. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops alkalize your water, ridding the body of harmful toxins and acid, helping you to regain your energy and health. Alkalizing your water by simply adding 10 drops of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops helps the body to rid itself of acidic waste, increases oxygen, and raises the pH of your body to optimal levels. And bacteria and viruses cannot survive in an alkaline high pH environment. Order your bottle of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops for only $29.95 at AlkaVision.com. That's AlkaVision.com. Or call 269-409-1776. 269-409-1776. Alkalize your body. Supercharge your health at AlkaVision.com.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio?
Something more important.
Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Meet Jerry D.
Hi.
Jerry and his family, like you, are very concerned about world conditions and have gathered many emergency preparedness items, including Turtle Tough shelters.
We have added 2 24-foot Turtle Toughs to our supplies and feel very secure knowing our large family is ready for whatever the future may bring.
Turtle Tough shelters are not tents. They are permanent yet portable four-season geodesic frame shelters that are as strong as a cabin at a fraction of the cost and are easy to set up, take down, and move anywhere. Available in 2 sizes. Get your Turtle Tough shelter and accessories included at TurtleToughShelters.com. That's Turtle, T-U-F-F shelters.com, or call 801-623-3288. That's 801-623-3288. Or see them online at TurtleToughShelters.com. Turtle Tough Shelters, your all-season home away from home.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
Hey, Bill, pick up line 3. It's Brian.
Hey, Brian, what's up?
Brian here. Thanks. Hey, Bill, I just received my shipment of the Safety Net, our full-year emergency food system. I can't tell you how great it feels to personally not have to worry anymore, especially with the growing threats to our everyday food supply.
Brian, not only are you getting 4,320 nutritionally dense, delicious food servings, but the individual serving price is just $1.43 per meal. It's truly great tasting food at amazing prices.
The variety is also a huge bonus, Bill. It's like having access to a full menu of impressive food.
Well, it really is a safety net for those worried about the coming food shortages and how their families can prepare.
It's great knowing I'm covered for the future, but I gotta go, Bill, and get all this food unloaded.
With scorching heat devastating U.S. cropland, there's never been a better time to visit SafetyNetSavings.com. That's SafetyNetSavings.com. Visit SafetyNetSavings.com today.
Talking about the Chinese pumping $1 billion into New York real estate. Yes, it's true. Investors from that country have put that kind of money in real estate loans in the Big Apple in the past year. The New York Times was cranking out all those statistics. And the company, one of these companies that was one of the first Chinese tenants to sign a lease at One World Trade Center is called China Center. It's a business/cultural organization, and the owner says everybody wants to come to New York because it's the starting point for going global. And the flood of Chinese investments is very similar in some ways, they say, to what happened in the 80s. The Japanese bought up a lot of New York real estate, but the Chinese buying up a lot of buildings and property and all that stuff hasn't really been publicized as much until the New York Times did their blowout article on it, and they started to list some of the places that are owned by Chinese investors. Not Chinese Americans, Chinese investors. So they live in China, have other people that come over, or they come over, you know, go back and forth, that kind of thing. So what a difference a couple of decades makes, huh? Yeah, a lot. In Mexico, boy, they've arrested a trafficker that's accused of 600 killings. How do you live with killing 600 people? It means that you have no blood coursing through your body, and you have absolutely no consciousness, and you're probably unconscious walking around, and you're just one mean SOB. Mexican police today arrested the leader of a gang called the Hand with Eyes. That tells you something right there. And what happened is the leader confessed to carrying out or even ordering 600 murders. Oscar Garcia Montoya is his name, 36 years old, and he was picked up in an overnight raid in a what they thought was a safe house outside of Mexico City. And so that organization is obviously known for extreme violence, including some of those decapitations that we occasionally talked about here on the show. Most of the victims were drug dealers and rival gang people and all that stuff, and it was all about territory. But there were others that got caught in between in this parade of people that they slaughtered. Whew. 600 people. I mean, wow. Unthinkable. Unthinkable. That is a huge amount in a limited amount of time. That's what they're saying. Because remember, this whole drug trafficking has always been around. But the violence, the extreme violence, has been around since Felipe Calderon, the president, announced in 2006 that he was going to take care of drug violence. He was going to crack down on drug violence. That didn't work out too well for him, I would say. Because if anything, it really has increased with tunnels and with a long operating arm that stretches through the United States and certainly beyond. This is a strange story. It totally fits in We Can Count. There's a guy, an Ohio man, who was hoping to use a $5 million lottery that he won in June to pay for treatment. He desperately needed treatment, 54 years old. He was having health problems. And his name is Philip Witham from Logan, Ohio. Sadly, here he wins the lottery, but it's too late. He had kidney failure and he died. He died at his house on Tuesday of this week. And they think it is the kidney thing because that's what he was having problems with. So he was entered into the Ohio top prize drawing, you know, the lottery. He won $2,500 off a $20 instant ticket that he got, you know, a scratch-off thing. And then he was entered into the thing and entered into the drawing. And then he got $5 million. They do a top prize, and he got $5 million. Easy come, easy go. I hope that he spent that on something that made him happy in those in that short amount of time that he must have had some of that money. This is a crazy story. We go from the lottery guy to this Pennsylvania judge who got 28 years in one of the worst cases I think I've ever heard, because this was a long-time judge. So he's going to be in jail for almost three decades, right? Here's what he did. His name is Mark Calaveria, Jr., and what he did was he would take bribes. He took $1 million in bribes from the builder of a pair of juvenile detention centers in what they nicknamed Kids for Cash. So he thought he was going to get out of it. He stood up in the courtroom. They announced the verdict, and he almost fell over. In the meantime, there were people that were screaming out, woohoo, because it's been a huge scandal. And this judge had all these convictions that had to do with kids. Some of the kids, he would slam them with unbelievable sentences. So now he's convicted. So because of the scandal, the Pennsylvania Supreme Court threw out 4,000 convictions that were issued by the judge between 2003 and 2008, because they're saying, look, he violated the constitutional rights of the juvies, including the right to legal counsel and the right to intelligently enter a plea. So that's why they got the whole Kids for Cash thing. So they're 30 years. Can you imagine being a judge and being in prison? Ooh, You have to be careful. You have to look around. Of course, it depends on what prison they put them in. But I think that would could be a little scary to be in his situation. And this was in northeast Pennsylvania, by the way, so like that Scranton area, if you're familiar with that, a couple hours outside of Philadelphia, not near the city, further deeper into the state of Pennsylvania. All right, here's another one that fits into our neat little category called We Can Count. I happen to see a picture of Sharla Nash. You remember that name, Sharla Nash? Some of you are listening right now to this show in Connecticut, and she was the woman who was mauled by her friend's chimp about 2 years ago. And she now has had an amazing transformation. I couldn't believe when I saw the photo, but because I remember seeing her after this happened, not too long after it happened. And, boy, they did some amazing work on her. She was on the NBC morning show, the Today Show. And she, I mean, just incredible, the transplants that they, what it's done to her face. 20-hour surgery. She had 20-hour surgery at Boston's Brigham and Women's Hospital back in May. And she had a team that had about 30 doctors, nurses, anesthesiologists, all that kind of stuff. So she got skin, underlying muscles, blood vessels, nerves, a hard palate, teeth from a donor, all this kind of stuff. I mean, do you realize this is the third full face transplant that we've had in the United States? Is that an amazing thing? And she looks absolutely stunning. She looks like nothing happened to her. She went to her friend's house. This happened back in February, 2 years ago. And her friend had this 200-pound pet chimpanzee who went nuts after the owner asked her to help lure him back into the house. So Travis ripped off her nose, her lips, her eyelids, and her hands before the cops shot him. She was left with no eyes and only a small opening, basically, where her mouth was. So what a difference this has made with this operation. I can't imagine you go to your friend's house and that happens. There aren't any really good words to describe that. So her family is suing the estate of the chimp's owners for $50 million, and they want to sue the state for $150 million because they're saying that Connecticut failed to prevent the attack. And, of course, the timing is interesting because the woman died, her friend died last year of an aneurysm. Oh, boy, that'd be tough. That'd be tough tooling around the town, too. That's Stamford, Connecticut, where that happened. But that's amazing. The transplanted face is amazing. I mean, this is going to become a lot more common. They've had 3 successful transplants, and in the future, who knows how many more. You think of some of the horrific, sad things that happen to people, and just in her case, where you're talking about being able to see, being able to eat more than pureed food, and that's what they have given her without a doubt. All right, we're heading to odds and ends on the flip side.
If you're concerned about radiation poisoning from Japan in the air, water, or food and can't find potassium iodide, go to RestoreYourHealthNow.com and choose Liquid Zeolite. Liquid Zeolite is hands down the best product to remove radiation from your body and safely removes toxins, heavy metals, boosts energy levels, and promotes a strong immune system. For fatigue, muscle weakness, headaches, memory loss, influenza, joint pain, or toxic radiation poisoning, use Liquid Zeolite from RestoreYourHealthNow.com. Liquid Zeolite is so powerful it was used to clean up contamination in Chernobyl, yet so gentle you won't even know you're taking it. Liquid Zeolite comes with a money-back guarantee, but is only available at RestoreYourHealthNow.com. RestoreYourHealthNow.com. Learn how to get free bottles of liquid zeolite at RestoreYourHealthNow.com. That's RestoreYourHealthNow.com or call 800-880-9976. Call 800-880-9976 today and learn how to get free bottles of liquid zeolite.
Before you throw away your used batteries, you need to listen to this. Now, going green can save money. Go green and save money by giving life to your used batteries by charging them with the Renaissance Charger. The Renaissance Charger uses a new revolutionary battery charging technology that effectively extends the life of new batteries and gives new life to used batteries. Invented by legendary audio genius John Bedini, this unique and patented charging system rejuvenates the electrochemical plate structure in the battery without additives, increasing capacity and maintaining cell integrity. Renaissance Charge offers a full line of products made in the USA for all types and sizes of batteries. Find out why our customers tell us the Renaissance Charger is the only battery charger they will ever use. Save your money. Save the environment. Visit us online at r-charge.com. That's r-charge.com or call us at 208-772-4514. That's 208-772-4514. Be a part of the revolution today.
Ready to save? Then you're ready for the Super Summer Sale at Herbal Healer Academy. Herbal Healer has been the leader in quality natural supplements for 23 years. Log on to HerbalHealer.com and take advantage of Herbal Healer Academy's incredible savings on 500 parts per million colloidal silver. The best pharmaceutical grade available at all sizes on sale. Super Male Plex with you Hindi and Super Femplex for summer toning. Buy glucosamine chondroitin 60 caps summer sale priced at only $12. Colon Enhancer 250 caps summer sale priced at just $18. And if your brain's a little foggy, we have a great supplement on sale called Memory Power. Log on and hit the postcard specials link for more super summer savings at HerbalHealer.com. As always, new customers get a free catalog with first order. Herbal Healer Academy, healing the world with nature one person at a time.
Her hair is hollow gold, her lips sweet surprise. Her hands are never cold. She's got Betty Davis eyes. She'll turn the music on you. You won't have to think twice.
All right, how about a little odds and ends for you here on America Tonight? Nancy Pelosi took her time, but finally she announced her appointment of three Democrats to round out the six that would be part of the super committee on this debt reduction, right? So here's the roster. She picked Congressman James Clyburn of South Carolina. Also, Javier Becerra from California. We've had him on America Tonight before we went to Washington. Maryland's Chris Van Hollen would be the last one. Here's the deal. It's a 12-member panel. I think you've gathered that, right? The Dems and the Republicans. They have until Thanksgiving to propose $1.5 trillion in 10-year budget savings. If they don't do it, they have no package. Congress doesn't approve it, all that stuff. Then automatically, $1.2 trillion in budget cuts will be triggered. So, will this super committee produce jobs, any kind of growth, slam the budget, reduce it, whatever? I don't know. I think it's probably going to stall and wither on the vine in the few months where they argue it out. So now, Congress comes back next month from this recess. Will they pass any kind of jobs legislation? I don't know. Just get the jobs. I think it's going to be tough. I think this committee's going to be tough because if you look at what both sides are made of, I don't see a lot of compromise in this. I don't think so. And how much money is being squandered on this? How much money is being wasted? When I say that, because I can't imagine, really, honestly, I can't imagine anything comes out of it. Here's what we need to do. One of the things we need to do, finally, the president is certainly catching on to this. We need to buy American. You know that. We've had people on the show to talk about it. Listen, doesn't mean you can't buy other stuff, and you do already, from other countries, especially China. But why not spend some cash on American-made things? Well, I can almost answer that question for you. Here's the president talking about American-made and foreigners driving our cars instead.
We've got a lot of Americans driving Kias and Hyundais. I want folks in Korea driving Fords and Chevys and Chryslers. I'd like to see that.
That ain't happening. Not getting enough gas mileage? No way are they pulling the cars in there. There's a reason why Americans opt for some of the cars that the president named, right? So I don't think so. Koreans in the United States, perhaps, but not those that are not cars of ours that are being pushed over there. I don't think that's going to happen anytime soon. Certainly, buying American-made would help instead of having more jobs go overseas, but then that's part of the whole problem of what are the tax breaks, what are the incentives. All of that plays into that corporate culture, and so far this administration is really dancing around, I think, the corporate culture. Notice I said culprit. No. I think they're dancing around the culture that we have. I've said this, by the way, because somebody asked me this in an email. Am I a capitalist? Yes, I'm a capitalist. But capitalism is failing. It is dying a slow death. And part of the reason why is because of the geniuses in Washington who have put us in this position with how much they're spending. The spending is like a kick in the head. There's all this spending, and there's not enough spending cuts at this point. Spend and cut, but there's not even enough of those cuts. So how far do you think all of this goes? How far do you think this committee will go, and will they have successes? Will they be able to be successful in their endeavor? I'm going to say it's going to be pretty tough. The easy thing to happen, the thing that will happen, is the $1.5 trillion 10 years. That's it, and that's part of the debt compromise. Okay, so this is supposed to be odds and ends. Let's squeeze in a few other things for you here that that'll definitely make you take pause. And one of them is that, yes, there are still people that are jobless, believe it or not, and, in fact, it's so bad. What do you do when you're in that situation? You're out of a job. It doesn't matter what you did or how good you were at it. You got to let it go. And if you can't afford to live in your house any longer, where do you go? Guess what people are doing? Tent cities. There's a bunch of them springing up all over the place. There's one 70 miles south of New York City. It's a tent city. People are going there because they are homeless and unemployed. They could be unemployed landscapers. They could be in the service industry. I mean, you know, pick something. There's military veterans, and they've decided they have to go and do something. It's, somebody described to me, it's almost like a scene of the Grapes of Wrath. Very sad. I mean, this is 2011, and this is in New Jersey. And who knows how many tent cities there are across the U.S. We know there are some. In Los Angeles, they have one, certainly. But about 3.5 million people are likely, they say, to be homeless in a given year. Whew. Homeless. There's all kinds of stories about how things don't work out, something happened, whatever. They lost their job. They slashed the payroll. It's, boy, it's rough out there. All right, what do you think this guy should get for what he did? There's a man who decided, and he must have been three sheets to the wind, you know that old expression about drinking, because chaos just erupted on a JetBlue flight from Portland, Oregon to JFK. A drunk man started urinating on a sleeping 11-year-old girl. She was traveling with her sister and father on that flight, and had been left alone for a few minutes while everybody used the lavatories, right, you know, in the back of the plane. So he this guy stumbled from his seat five rows behind her and decided he was going to empty his bladder. Now, everybody went crazy, and including the father. He said, "I was drunk. I didn't realize this ping on her leg." He supposedly had 8 drinks. Now, I just ask you this. It's a 5.5-hour flight. 8 drinks. You're allowed to drink that on the flight? I mean, they don't monitor how much you're drinking? So then what happened was the girl's father saw what was happening. Can you imagine? Started screaming. Looked like he was going to pummel the guy. Just boom, take him down. And the flight attendants had to separate them and move the nutball to the back of the plane, clean up the mess, and try to do whatever they can. The girl was traumatized. I mean, just absolutely traumatized. Of course she was traumatized. I mean, really, what do you think? So by the time the plane got in, there were 6 Port Authority cops, and they took the passenger off the plane, and they took the guy into custody. The guy who peed on the daughter's leg, Robert Vitez, his name is, 18 years old. And so he was issued a federal summons for indecent exposure and released. Boy, that's something you don't forget anytime soon, huh? You'd have to think, of course, he was just completely out of it. And probably was what he'll say to the judge. He thought he was in the restrooms. That's what he thought. But very, very traumatic, to say the least, for that young girl. And her father, 11 years old, and her father seeing that, of course he went nuts. It's lucky that he just didn't really tear him up, because that would be the tempting thing to do, because you're just in complete shock. I mean, you'd have to be seeing that. Wow. Sad. If you have any thoughts on America Tonight, I always say, you do, please send them to me. It's very easy. Go to americatonight.net, click on the email, and bada bing, you are in.